Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Dozier lines one to left field. That'll get Junior to third as Calhoun gets it back in. Hunter Dozier has a double, and the Royals are putting something together. And he hits it to center field. It will drop. Junior scores. Here's Dozier, and he is going to be out. Throw on the fly from Tavares to Mabry's Valoria. Now the Rangers have two on with two out. Smith strikes out again on a curveball, another slow curveball. Ripped into the right field corner, gone! A laser beam home run to right for Kyle Isbell, who has homered in back-to-back games. And the Royals get the run right back. So Scott Barlow is on for his 10th save. And he got him with a fastball. 95 to end the game. Zach Greinke in his 500th career start.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol for this Thursday, June 30th.
Halfway through the year.
Wow, is that right?
Is that what that is? 6 months?
Man. We're into July.
Tomorrow. 4th of July is coming up on Monday.
You got big plans?
I guess that's the worst day for the 4th of July. Maybe. I don't know. Actually, Wednesday or something would be the worst. Wednesday would be the worst. Because you could always have your 4th of July picnic on Saturday, the 2nd, Sunday.
No, I don't mind it if it's Friday or Monday. I don't mind it at all because, you know, get yourself a three-day weekend.
It's not bad.
Don't mind that at all. The thing about 4th of July, though, is it's one of those holidays that involves, you know, staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going to watch the fireworks. You're staying up till what, 10:30?
That's why you maybe minimum enjoy that on Saturday or Sunday and then try to go to sleep
on
Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. We have a good vantage point for the Overland Park fireworks that take place at Corporate Woods, and they're always very good.
Mm-hmm.
We have a spot where we don't have to camp out all day.
Right. Is the secret spot you'd like to tell people about right now? Maybe not?
Nope.
I don't
know.
No, you probably shouldn't. Don't want to give your secret spot away. We'll see some fireworks somewhere.
So we'll probably stay up, but, you know, we also have the 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So one of us might have to take him back, and that one of us might be me, since I'll be doing a morning show the next day, right?
Waking up.
We're not doing shows Monday morning, are we?
No, not Monday.
Mm-hmm. 7 a.m.
Best Marco, up on Monday, buddy. It's all good.
You watch your mouth in there. Buddy, you got plans, Marco?
Yes. Sunday, going to go watch the fireworks out at Bishop Miege. They do a show on the baseball.
Whoa, hey, easy there.
Baseball field?
I just punched his microphone loose.
Did you break the microphone?
I just turned it. Yeah. I got... The microphone's turned right now.
it's turned. So early to be turned.
Is that a quote from a song? I'm sure it is.
That's just turned.
Turned?
You ever get turned? You've been turned.
Turn all the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I just figured that was like a quote from a song or something.
Microphone got turned.
Anyway, so what are you doing Saturday? Miege? You going to Miege?
Yeah, so Bishop Miege, they put on a fireworks show in the on the baseball field.
On the actual 4th? Or will it be
the 3rd?
3rd.
Sunday night. Yeah. And then Monday, going to go over to family friends and swim and barbecue.
I'm going to try to watch this Elvis movie at some point this weekend.
Yeah.
Everyone says the Elvis movie's good.
It looks
try
good.
To watch that. We get a little picnic party at a friend's house. We're going to do that Saturday. Don't know what Sunday will bring. Monday, probably just relax.
Okay. You
know, do those things. I'm my 4th day into waking up early and coming in here to do this with you.
Catching up to you.
This is the hump day, right? It was yesterday. For me, it's just caught up to me a little bit today because last night I've been going to bed early. Earlier than you guys go to bed because you're used to how to do this. And sometimes you guys nap or whatever.
Yeah, I nap every day almost.
Yeah. I didn't. I've been here at work, so I haven't napped.
Yeah.
So I got home. It's thrown off my yoga. I usually do yoga in the mornings. So I got home. I do a little yoga when I get home.
You do some
yesterday.
Sun salutations?
Well, not at night because it's sunset.
In the morning, though.
In the morning, yes. Yeah. Sometimes the sun salutation. Sometimes whatever the lady on YouTube tells me to do.
Okay.
Adrian. She's the lady who tells me what to do. So I do what she says. So it's been a little off doing this stuff in the evenings or the afternoons. Last night, I went up to bed in the 9 o'clock hour. It was dark enough. And my wife is already asleep. So sleeping, and I hear the dreaded chirp from the battery in the smoke detector.
Uh-oh.
At 1 a.m.
Oh, no.
There's not once been a smoke detector chirp at 2 in the afternoon.
No.
It's always in the morning. So I'm like, holy crap. Where the hell is it? It was actually in our room.
Mm-hmm.
So
you didn't have to do the thing where you walk to every room in the house and wait for it to chirp again 5 minutes later?
It only took
Is
about...
Is it that one? Was it that one?
Two chirps to figure it out, because there was one right outside the hallway. And then, so that meant it's a vaulted ceiling because of our big fancy house. So that means a ladder. And that means, God, I hope we have a battery, right? All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all of that stuff. And then it was just, please go back to sleep. I was so asleep. Please just go back to sleep. And I did.
That's good.
Not immediately, but then it was. I woke up a few times. The weird thing is, I've not once since Monday had my actual alarm I set on my phone go off. I've woken up. I've been awakened somehow a little bit before the alarm goes off. So I haven't been startled awake, except for the chirp this morning.
Yeah.
12:58 is when it started. Got it done about 1:05 maybe.
I definitely deal with that thing where, and we've got the 2-year-old that sometimes chirps in the middle of the night. But I definitely deal with the anxiety sometimes of, oh, man, I've only got 3 hours to get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I better sleep fast, and that just doesn't work.
Tell yourself sleep and you'll sleep, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, we
just
went
sleep.
To, we stayed up a little late last night. I was watching, I know a lot of our listeners are probably in the same boat as me. A lot of MLS soccer last night. There was actually penalties in the U.S. Open Cup between Nashville and Orlando, and it went to like 6 or 7 penalties, and Orlando won. So
they'll play New York.
They'll play the New York Red Bulls on the 27th of July. Sporting going to play Sacramento on the 27th.
Do you have a game time yet for that? They haven't given us a game time.
I think they said 7:30.
The
announcer said last night 7:30 Pacific time. It'll be 9:30 our time.
There you go. So that'll be a good day for Nate.
Yeah. Nice.
Midweek, right? That's a
nice
Wednesday.
And convenient. I don't know if I'm going to get to go to the game in Sacramento or not. So I think we're working on that still. So I watched that, watched some games, did some prep work for this coming game that Sporting's going to play, stuff like that. And then the wife and I, Stephen will be very happy to know, watched the first episode of The Offer.
So you're all the way through the first episode.
All the way through the first episode.
We're going to get it started. So you've watched
Yeah, we watched the first half of it, of that episode, like last week. And
now
we were just getting too late.
Time,
it was getting too late. So we watched the rest of episode one, and we're in. Kelly likes it.
Yeah.
Kelly likes it. I like it. My wife's never seen The Godfather. Now she wants to see it, which is exciting. So we did that last night. So we stayed up a little late, got to bed. Anyways, this weekend, then yesterday also, by the way, went to the Kansas Association of Broadcasters seminar.
Getting good people for us?
GEHA Field.
Is the future bright?
I think we got some future broadcasters out there. We got a couple guys that are interested in some board shifts or internships.
Call the Drake.
That's what I told him. I said, hey, always need board shifts, shifts.
Yeah, careful when you say that.
Yeah, boy, that was close. So this weekend for me, tomorrow morning, guess what I'm doing for my dad for Father's Day?
You missed Father's Day.
We're going. I did. You know what? I was working.
A couple weeks ago.
I was in Los Angeles working. I don't know if you know, I did a game for Fox.
Did you do soccer in California?
Yeah, I did a game for Fox.
Did you?
So we were making Father's Day good. My sister, my nephews, my kids, and I are taking Papa golfing at Dubs Dread.
Oh, Dubs,
out
yes.
in Western Wyandotte County. Close to the lake that I allegedly grew up on.
There you go. Nice. Right.
In fact, you can see Piper Lake Club from
Dubs, yeah.
Hole number 10 and hole number 11.
I haven't played Dubs in a while. That's a long track. That's what I remember.
It is a long. I think at one point they said it was the longest course in the world or something, or in the country. I don't know, something like that. But that was where we. You know, I did live in Piper.
Mm-hmm.
We did golf at Dubs Dread when I was a kid. Sometimes. Back when I hated golf.
That's when you learned to hate the game?
That's
when I learned to hate the game. You're going to have some memories going back there?
I've grown to love Dubs Dread because it reminds me of some happy times. And there's always like the Bishop Ward golf tournaments out there. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of like KCK-related golf tournaments that happen at Dubs Dread that I end up getting to play in and seeing people that I love and know that I grew up with and all that stuff. So
Dubs America.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about that. So we're going to do that. And then...
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Got some tickets.
Getting tickets.
Got some tickets to see Kenny Chesney.
Oh, yeah.
Going to
Chez.
Going to Chez. Thank you, Chad Boger. Going to Chez on Saturday night with the wife.
A full weekend. They'll probably shoot some fireworks off at that.
They got to, right?
I mean, it's 4th of July weekend.
It's I've been to Chesney at Arrowhead one time, and I'm not the biggest country music fan in the world. But I do, like, I have grown to appreciate basically all forms of music.
Sure.
I definitely at one point was one of those. I like everything but country.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I take the country out. I like any good music now.
Yeah.
You know, if it's good music, I like it. He's good. And
he's an entertainer.
People love seeing him. It was fun. Like everybody's in a good mood at a Chesney concert, you know?
I like going to things where people are enjoying themselves.
Yes.
I went
that's
to
it.
The Tyler the Creator concert,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
I didn't know what Tyler the Creator was, but I had a great time there because the people there were having a great time.
That makes you have a great time. Yeah, seeing people have fun.
I honestly think that's one of the things that endears sporting Kansas City to people. You go to a sporting match, you don't know anything about soccer, people are having a great time there. It makes it more fun.
Yeah.
And people will be having a great time at Arrowhead on Saturday.
I went and saw him, my wife and all her friends that are big country fans, you know, and so we went a few, they went, I think we might have gone 2 years in a row. I know I went 1 year. I think the other year I maybe had to work or something, so I didn't go. But they went like 2 or 3 years in a row. But I went the year that Eric Church opened up for him, and that was fun. But it was everybody was having just a great time. It was a big. You could tell everybody was excited.
Yes,
you know,
it's a big deal.
And so when I came across these tickets, I thought, you know what? And the thing is, my wife's birthday's coming up. So a little birthday
late
present.
Late Father's Day, early birthday.
Yeah, I'm taking care of two things on Saturday. Gonna have some fun all day. We'll play some golf in the morning on
that's
the
a
lake.
Long day. You better get a nap.
I know. I'm definitely
golf
gonna be napping
and
in between. Definitely gonna be napping in between. Chesney at night, then Sunday Sporting Kansas City. They play the Red Bulls at home. That'll be a good game.
It's nighttime too.
It's, 7 o'clock game. They're doing fireworks.
Yep.
They're doing fireworks. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet and you're looking for something to do with the fam, I know there are some tickets still available. They're going to do a big fireworks thing after the game, and it should be a good night and a big game. And by the way, like the Red Bulls play, they're one of those teams that play just like this frenetic, high-paced,
entertaining,
thing. And so I'll do that Sunday, and then pool day Monday.
See, just relax.
Pool day Monday.
And I don't know what's happening next week on the show. How we're going to do this? Steven's going to be in Lake Tahoe. Seren's going to be in Lake Tahoe. I'll probably come in here a little bit. I don't know if I'll be here every day at 6.
Yeah.
I'll leave you alone.
Steven's informed
one.
Me he won't be on at 6 a.m. every day.
Maybe not 6. See,
I wish that we would have come up with that system when I went to Tahoe.
Exactly.
Because I was up.
We used
to.
I think this is one of the things that.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
Comes with wisdom, age. Like, why would we make someone wake up at 4
in the morning? Is that so important? Yeah. I think the pandemic kind of helped us with that a little bit.
We learned that we could do other things.
Yeah, we could be a little more flexible.
Like, I don't know why you were up at 4 in the morning in the hotel a couple weeks ago when you were doing that soccer game out in L.A., except you just wanted to be on the show and do your work. But I was like, you could have woken up later.
Yeah, maybe take the first hour off.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Just wake up at some point and do it.
Nah.
But I think Monday, when Monday Noah's doing a show, and Tuesday, they're traveling out there. I think I'm doing the program Tuesday, so Tuesday may not be on at all. I don't know. If we figure it out, either way, it'll all be fine.
We'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
We'll do some radio.
The Royals won yesterday. See?
How about that?
They won a series finale.
Okay. Let me lay the menu out for Royals, the show. We will talk baseball with Buster Olney at 7 o'clock. We also will have a special Mike's Got This segment for you at 7:30. Gary Lezak will give us a weather forecast. You give your holiday. We got probably a lot of lake travel going, right? A lot of people laking it up, right?
A lot of people going to Chesney. A lot of people going to Chesney. A lot of outdoor events.
A lot of outdoor events.
Fireworks.
So we'll find a very important forecast. Make sure we have enough time for Gary Lezak. At 8:30, we're going to have a couple in-studio guests. A couple of young Sporting Kansas City players, Cam Duke and Felipe Hernandez, two young homegrown midfielders who made their profession soccer before they were even done with high school, which I always think is interesting because we have these paradigms. That's a fancy word, isn't
it? It is fancy.
But we have these social constructs. We have these things that we look at, and this is the way you're supposed to do things. And, you know, in college basketball, if you go to college and you stay for several years, you're doing it the right way, right? If you leave college after 1 year, you're doing it the wrong way. And we hear that one all the time. If you don't graduate, you didn't do it the right way. You know, we like that.
The way is changing.
That Wisconsin basketball team, they got all seniors. They're doing it the right way, just really because those guys weren't good enough to go pro. But, you know, the right way, wrong way thing. You got to go to college if you want to be a professional basketball player. But we're going to have two guys that, while they were in high school, became professional soccer players.
Got to have a place to do it, and that's what Sporting is built.
Yeah. Well, the league is built because that's the way that world works.
Yeah.
You know, that world works in a way where you don't want to go to college.
It takes a while to change that mindset.
Yeah.
And I think we're past halfway
on that. Baseball's got a bit of a different one. Now, you got to get drafted. You got to get through high school unless you're from another country. Then you can be 16 and they can sign you. But in this country, you got to wait till you're done with high school.
Yep.
Then they can draft you.
Or you can change what year you get out of high school.
Yeah.
And
reclassify
like
go
Bryce
JUCO
Harper
for
did
a year
to get drafted. I mean, it's just like you can do any number of ways. It's very difficult.
We just like to set up these artificial rules that don't really have anything to do with whether or not you as an individual are ready for your job. Because some people are ready for their job earlier than others.
Yep.
Anyways, so those two guys, that's what they did. But they both have different paths as well, though. Felipe Hernandez signed with the SKC2 team. First he was an academy kid, then he played SKC2 for a couple years, then he made it to the first team, and now both of them are playing a ton. A lot of that's because the guys are making a lot more money than them are hurt, and they've been growing a lot as players and getting a lot of experience. So it'll be interesting to talk to them about what that journey's like, you know. Yeah. So that'll be coming up at 8:30, and then we got an hour of football with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. He'll talk Chiefs with us, as he will every Thursday, mm-hmm. the beat writer covering the Chiefs. So that's all coming up. The Royals, yeah, the Royals won yesterday.
2-1.
And
it looked like it was going to be a really messy game in the first inning. There were all kinds of issues. People getting thrown out of the plate. People getting on base. And now, lo and behold, it's two hours and 18-minute getaway day. That's your traditional getaway.
You like
we're
that.
We're both yeah. leaving. Now, the Royals had they're off today, so they're not actually leaving until today. But Texas was getting out of town, and Zach Greinke pitched well. The bullpen was great. 2 hours and 18 minutes, these guys were home for dinner, man, and got to chill. So it was a nice little getaway day for them.
Well, we talked with Mike Boddicker about how you don't need to go for strikeouts all the time. Just get them when you need them. Zach Greinke gave up just one run over six innings, three strikeouts.
Yep.
Nothing too fancy. Did his job. His 500th start. The thing about it is, like, the Royals are in a place now where winning a game doesn't really, I don't think, get you that excited. It's going to be more about how they win
yeah.
and who was the reason they won. So we'll talk about that, whether or not this one yesterday got us excited at all or not, right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th Spot. Take these broken wings and learn to fly again. Learn to live so free. When we hear the voices sing, so yeah, the Royals got a win yesterday. Let's be happy about that. They're 27-47 now. They got a win.
It's a 2-4 homestand.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great. But they started it with a win. They finished it with a win.
That's right.
You know,
it's a sandwich. The yeah. bread was good. The meat was rancid.
Yeah, it was not a. That was not a. Well, anyway, they won the game. Zach Greinke makes start number 500. So let's hear from Mike Matheny, because we talk all the time, you know, like Steven has asked a few times, like, you think Greinke's a Hall of Famer? I feel like he's an automatic. I mean, I'm not one of these people that studies the numbers left and right. But I just, the way, to me, like, the first thing you think of when you think of whether or not somebody's a Hall of Famer is, were they one of the best at what they did for a significant period of time in their sport? And I don't see how you could debate that with Greinke. Like, he's been good for a really long time. He's been one of the best in the game for a really long time. The fact that he's still going and pitching well, 500 starts, it illustrates it. Here, Mike Matheny talks about what kind of achievement that is for Zach Greinke.
Sam and I were just talking, trying to get your head around 500 starts. That's just, it's amazing. And you're just not going to see many people moving forward that are going to be able to do something like that and to do it as well as he's done. And then to go out against a very good offense that's given him trouble in the past and put up that kind of start. You know, I thought the first inning was pretty indicative of who Zach Greinke is, right? There's a misplay in left field that's typically made. Great hustle by Isbell, by the way, being there so that run doesn't score. And we've seen that with some of the younger guys lately where some of that stuff starts to spiral, starts to compound. And he just started making better pitches and knew when to stretch the zone, knew how to take advantage of aggressiveness, and puts up a zero right there and gives us a chance. And just all day long, really in control of what he wanted to do. And it was impressive. But going back to that number, man, that's something to be really, really proud of. And just seeing the numbers that are up there, where he's getting to in strikeouts, and, you know, we're watching something very special.
He's only 160 some strikeouts short of 3,000. He now has passed one Pedro Martinez in wins. He's a Hall of Famer, right?
That's a pretty big name to pass.
You know, Pedro's ERA is sub 3 for his career. Zach's ERA is like 3.4. But he's 220 in wins. And these other numbers, the baseball numbers, like WAR, Zach Greinke's got a 74 WAR. That's Hall of Fame level WAR. Pedro Martinez's WAR is only a little bit higher. He's like 83 or something like that. So, you know, Zach Greinke, to me, is going to be a Hall of Famer in my mind. It's maybe he wasn't as dominant as for that little stretch as Zach Greinke or as Pedro was, but he was when he was with the Dodgers. And this is the I guess the bad part is the Dodgers didn't win, you know, a World Series while he was out there. But his amazing Cy Young year with the Royals, where his ERA was 2.16, right? He only won 16 games because the Royals weren't very good. But he went, goes out to the Dodgers, 15-4, 17-8, 19-3. That stretch right there, ERA 1.66, 32 starts that year. That wasn't one of those things where, oh, well, he only started 24 games, spent a month and a half on the DL. Hit a 1.66 ERA for an entire Major League Baseball season in 2015. It's pretty amazing. And he's, you know, he just hasn't he hasn't maybe had the stage where it's happened for him, and he's just such kind of a different guy when you talk to him. He's not a guy who's going to endear himself with writers, probably. You know what I mean? Which is half the game in baseball. I think most writers kind of like his quirkiness.
Yeah.
He hasn't made them mad or anything.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's the thing about Zach is he's not mean. He's just honest, you know? And so, like, I think actually my guess would be that most writers enjoy him because they get something from him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say things that are interesting. He doesn't just give platitudes. He just kind of gives a real answer. And if he doesn't know the answer, he'll go, I don't know how to answer that one. You know, like he doesn't give the one game at a time stuff. And I think the writers probably like him for that. But
I don't know how long he wants to pitch. I mean, he didn't need to come here and do this.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's made, gosh, like $300 million. He's made $330 million.
I mean, think about this for a minute. I mean, every time I think about all these things, I just go back to being a guy that was, I was traveling with the Royals at the time that he came up, and I was there for his big league debut in Oakland, California, and I was there the next year when he started talking about how he didn't like playing baseball, and he didn't, you know, baseball was boring, and being a starting pitcher was boring, and he maybe wanted to go back to the minor leagues and become a position player so he could play every day. And then, you know, of course, he walked away from the game for a little bit. And, I mean, think about how close he was to never playing this sport again professionally before his career ever really got started.
At that point, would still have made millions of dollars because he was a high school signee and he got a big chunk of money.
Yeah.
But
a few million.
Yeah.
More
than I've made in my life.
A few million, you know? Yeah. But
a 52-year-old.
But $300 million later. $330 million later, he's probably glad that he decided.
Or maybe he's not. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Money doesn't solve everybody's problems. There's all kind of really rich people that are unhappy. But he seems like he must have enjoyed it at some point, or else he wouldn't have kept doing it this long.
I just had a flashback to he got drafted in 2002, right?
I thought it was 01, but
2002.
Okay.
June draft 2002. We couldn't have been in this building for like a week or two. One of the first people I remember having on, I'm almost positive, was in this building, and he got drafted. He was a first round draft pick, and the Royals helped us get his phone number, and we called him up and we had him on. And we were having the Jim Rome tour stop coming like a week later or 2 weeks later, and we're like, yeah, you should come up here and go to the Jim Rome tour stuff. He's like, that'd be pretty cool. It was just like, that was like our first. And I don't know if that audio exists because our archives from that particular time, our archives are better before that and after that. But that little chunk of time in there when we were moving buildings and sometimes recording on VHS tapes, sometimes recording on cassette tapes, sometimes recording on mini disc, it's a little weird. But it was 20 years ago. That was like this month was when he got drafted, and that's when we moved into this building, and all those things were happening, because I still have in my phone, I think I have Zach Greinke's phone number. I don't know if his parents still live at that house. He was definitely at his parents' house.
Yeah.
When we had him on.
They probably live in a nicer house now.
Probably.
But maybe
they kept the phone number, or maybe they're like everyone else and they don't have a landline anymore.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was funny. It just had a total flashback to that.
I'll tell you what, when in those days when I was with the team every day and on the road every day, I have told the story, of course, about him stealing my coffee, but also like sharing a cab with him in Minnesota when he was like, how come you get to wear shorts? We're not allowed to wear shorts around the hotel. I think that's really stupid. Yeah. He was really upset about that. Things like that. But, you know, people would always like come up to me and be like, you know, hey, this guy, Granky, man, I don't know what's going on there. It was hard for the baseball guys to understand. This dude doesn't seem to really think that playing in the big leagues is that cool. And everybody else here is like, holy cow.
It's the dream come true.
I'm in the big leagues. You know how hard
like Vinny Pasquantino, though, they couldn't believe he was here.
And if you're, I mean, Davi, the traveling secretary, you know, was like a minor league catcher, never made it to the big leagues, but he gets to work in the big leagues now. And to him, it's like, man, this is what everybody dreams of. This is the whole thing. And he just doesn't seem to think it's great. He's griping about whether or not they wear shorts. He just is a different dude. And so, like, if you had told me back then, like, if you come to me and said, hey, by the way, this guy's going to throw 500, you know, he's going to make 500 starts. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to do all these things. I don't know what I would have said. I might have said, yeah, I could see that. Because the talent was off the charts, and his understanding, like his just innate knack for how to pitch, you know, we talked all this stuff with Boddicker, where like a lot of guys seem to need to be programmed. They're not sure what pitch to throw or what to execute. He just has this sense for, and it's like he simplifies. I remember that first strikeout he got when he threw that really slow curveball. He's like, well, he was hitting everything I was throwing as fast as I could, so I thought I'd just throw something as slow as I could.
Down.
You know, like he just had that, so maybe I would have said, yeah, he'll do it.
He's got.
But I also might have said, there's no way this guy is going to pitch in the big leagues for that long.
And that's what you don't know when you draft someone. In that first round that year, he's got 220 wins. The next closest guy, Cole Hamels, was a star. He was great. 163 wins. And then Scott Kazmir, who was a really good left-handed pitcher for a little while, 108 wins.
They were in
Matt
the same
Cain,
draft
101.
Class.
They're both first rounders.
Yeah, they're both in that Moneyball book. I mean, if people have ever read the book, it goes through all those guys, and they mock the Royals for drafting.
And sometimes I think Kazmir
Kazmir was a high school kid too, I think, right?
Yep.
And so they mocked those programs that drafted high school kids at the time because the A's had been winning with college pitchers. Now, part of their argument was by the time Kazmir became good, he was on like his second or third club. He didn't win right away with his first team. But anyway, we need to take a break.
The best pitchers in that draft class were all high school pitchers. I'll just tell you that on that particular one.
Even better than Granky?
No, they were all high school pitchers. They're all high school pitchers.
Uh-huh. Interesting. All right, well, we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So I asked Marco, is there a reason behind this song being played in? And he said he asked intern Namdi, and this was his request. The Seal?
Seal, yeah.
Kiss from the Rose.
This was from a Batman movie, wasn't it?
Are he and Heidi Klum still together?
Well, I hope so.
Isn't that the couple?
Is that love?
Probably. My wife...
I hate when I Google these things, because what if something terrible happened?
My wife loves Heidi Klum. She was on, what was the name of that show,
show? When you Google Seal, you need to put in more than just Seal.
Yeah.
I put in singer, because then otherwise you'll just get some seals.
Namdi said he is no longer together with her.
Oh.
No longer.
It's a shame.
Internet says they're divorced. 2014.
Celebrity marriage is hard to keep together, baby. Hard to keep them together.
I think all of them are hard to keep together.
Yeah, marriages can be hard to keep together for a lot of people. What was the name of that show? There was some reality show about fashion my wife always liked to watch with Heidi Klum in it. She just loved her. Oh, she thinks she's the best.
What was that, like Runway, something?
Project
Runway.
Project
Namdi
Runway.
Says.
There you go.
Namdi knows a little too much about Seal and Heidi Klum.
You know what? Or maybe he knows the right amount.
He's like 19 years old, 20 years old. He shouldn't know these things.
Namdi's kind of an old soul I'm picking up. You know,
no doubt.
He knows some music.
Which Batman movie was that?
I don't know. Can I confess something?
You've never seen a Batman movie?
I've seen Batman movies, and I don't like them.
Oh.
They're too dark.
What about the soundtrack?
Nah, I don't... I remember the one that had Kim Basinger. Like, I was a pretty big Kim Basinger fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked there was a Prince song that went with that one. And I liked that one because Kim Basinger was, I think, in the video, if I remember correctly. But no, not a big Batman fan. I just nah. And they seem to be just trying to get them darker and darker, you know.
Like, yeah, that one was from. It was before they got crazy dark, I think. Kiss from a Rose.
But they've always been kind of dark. I mean,
with the whole Batman's backstory is right.
Yeah. Well, bats live in the dark, right? Hey, we were talking about these contracts of you were looking through the draft, which kind of got us into you were looking at that draft class with Greinke and got us into this idea of the big contracts that some guys will sign in baseball. Who was it that you were looking at? Was it Prince Fielder that ended up on a big contract? Right. That you know
he got hurt, his back hurt, and he made about $100 million while not playing. And Chris
how many
Davis
times have the
retired.
Royals? So we talk a lot about how boy, it'd be nice to be able to sign guys to big old contracts, like the clubs like you know the Yankees and the Dodgers and everything. How many times have when the Royals have actually decided to spend big on a player for a long term contract, has it actually been the right decision?
Well, they sometimes look like it at first.
We celebrated when Mike Sweeney got his deal.
Didn't go great.
His body fell apart.
Yep.
So that one, and I was a huge Mike Sweeney fan, but that contract did not work out for the Royals. Mm-hmm. We celebrated, Jake Gutierrez did Snow Angels on the deck here. We celebrated Alex Gordon Day because they signed him to a long-term contract. That didn't turn out to be the best move for the club.
No, and listen, it's great to have Gordo around. And all that, but
they did.
He didn't perform.
Yeah, and they kept losing.
They paid right? if you want to calculate the pay for what you got, what you paid for.
Yeah,
every one of those contracts, they've gotten more for less at the earlier part of someone's career than they've gotten for paying a lot more money at the end of their career.
They paid the guys basically for what they had done before,
and then they didn't continue to do it.
Yeah, well, Salvador Perez is that a
TBD? But he had an amazing year. Record-setting year for him, but you know this year's not great. I'm not putting that in that category yet, but I'm worried about it because it's longer.
Yeah,
and it's for more
money.
How many
more years do they have him under contract?
It's through 24, I think.
Because it does seem to be kind of trending in the wrong way right now. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll get healthy and bounce right back and be the same Salvi. It was trending in the right way. You know, his numbers offensively were getting better.
He's through 25, really 26. There's a buyout for $2 million. So it's $20 million next year, $20 million the next year.
$20
million. $22 million the next year. So that's, forget about the 18 he's getting this year, and he's only going to end up playing 40,
I mean, what do you
games.
Think? Do you feel confident that he's going to be worth anywhere near $20 million next year?
He's got $64 million yet to earn with the Royals over 3 years in an offseason.
How about a player that the Royals should have signed, should have given the big money to, that they didn't?
Well, Carlos Beltran was the guy. It was almost like there was a choice, that people thought there was a choice. You can either pay Beltran or you can pay Sweeney.
No,
and I don't know if that's just story
no,
stuff
that's,
or
I was
whatever.
There with them. I talked to Beltran all the time. I've said this. Beltran was actually my favorite guy to cover of all time when I covered the Royals.
He wasn't signing.
He spoke to me every time. And no, he was like, look, if they want to pay me the most money, I'll sign with them. Mm-hmm. They were never going to be able to pay him the most money. Teams were not going to pay Mike Sweeney the way they were going to pay Carlos Beltran.
Because Carlos Beltran was younger.
He was younger. He was a five-tool player.
All of it.
Yeah, I mean, he was, yeah.
But if you could take one of these guys in history and look back, that would be the player, if I wanted him to go for broke and overspend, that would be the guy that I would wish they had done that with.
Yeah, he was a Scott Boras client. There was no...
The same thing with, you know, Damon... Was like, I remember going out there and Johnny Damon said, yeah, you know, hopefully we'll get something worked out. You know, it's just like, no, you're not. Because I know who your agent was, Scott Boras. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
He ain't signing.
I want to stay in Kansas City. Like, and the thing, I'll give Beltran credit. He never said that. He never said, oh, I really want to stay in Kansas City. He said, because I'd ask him and he'd say, well, if they pay me the most money, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm not opposed to staying in Kansas City. I like it here fine, but I'm not going to give them a hometown discount or anything like that. And that was honest.
About the interesting? Well, I'm going to ask Buster about this when we get him on. This deal with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
And he fired his agent because apparently that's Alex Gordon's agent, Casey Close. Apparently, according to Freeman, he didn't tell Freeman that the Braves had made a counteroffer. And he'd loved being in Atlanta. Mm. And he's with the Dodgers.
He cried
now.
When he left, right?
Yeah. He cried again when he came back. He just had standing ovations and all this stuff. So now, then he finds out, you didn't even tell me there was a counteroffer. And so now he fired his agent. Wow. It's like, woof. That's interesting things happening in the world there.
Yeah.
That'll be something to talk to Buster about.
But I even think about it in other sports. Like, that's one of the reasons I was in favor of Tyreek Hill, this Tyreek Hill trade. I would not pay Tyreek Hill. I would not commit myself to a big long-term contract with him. Because I think he could be really good for another year or two, but it's very possible. I just feel like most times when you sign a guy to a long-term commitment like that and pay him a ton of money, you end up regretting it. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when they get a little bit older, when they get closer to 30. Anyways, we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. So I actually walked away from the show yesterday morning not feeling great because I just felt like we spent a lot of time griping. You know, we griped for an entire hour with Boddicker about kids these days in baseball and the problems with the game. And then we had Tom Glavine on, and he said, I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I don't like what I'm seeing in baseball now and all that. And then I was actually talking with Seth Sinovic yesterday, soccer alarm, at this Victory Project meeting we were at, and he's a big baseball fan.
Did you mention to him that you've been calling games?
I told him, I said, hey, you know, I was out in L.A. for Fox. He had been listening to us, and he said, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I've always loved it, but I know you guys were saying you don't want to sound like old fuddy-duddies, but to me, like, young people aren't watching it. You know, it's not like it's just the old people that are saying, I mean, remember when Ohtani had his amazing back-to-back things, the two kids in the other room over here didn't even know it was happening. It wasn't even on their radar, and that was happening against their team, against their hometown team. So that's, I think, the point. Like, you know, you can sit there and say, well, these old guys are sitting around griping about baseball, but the reason the old guys are sitting around griping about baseball is because they love baseball, and they don't like that it's becoming less popular. They don't like some of the trends in the game. It doesn't mean they don't like baseball. It's actually the bigger concern is the young people. They're not griping about baseball because they're just not watching.
They don't know.
They're not griping about it because they don't care. And so if you think it's just like, oh, here come, you know, the two old guys sitting on the porch griping about something, here's the commissioner of the sport who I think...
He's still the commissioner. Whatever you think about him, he's the commissioner.
He's the commissioner. And here he is speaking about trying to create change in Major League Baseball.
I think the tough spot... If you recognize that change needs to come and you talk about that, people take that as negativity. I don't see it that way. I see it from the perspective of I love the institution, I love the game, and I want it to be everything it can be.
I think he's doing a terrible job so far, but that's just my opinion. But I think he's right on the fact that, like if you love something, that doesn't mean you pretend it has no flaws. If you love something, you try to work to make it as good as it can be. This is a good quote. This is where he's like, I don't think he's been great for the sport. He regrets when he called the commissioner trophy a piece of metal.
I do regret it. I regret it because it's disrespectful to the game. And I love the game. I think as I've matured in the job, that I've come to realize that you have to make your decisions, articulate why you did what you did, which I'd already done with the Astros. And then after that, you just got to let people make their minds up as to whether they think you got it right or got it wrong.
One thing he did say yesterday that's out there is they're hoping maybe to look into the blackout rules. And that would be huge.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
You want people to watch it? Allow them to watch it.
100%. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.